Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Kalen Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P4P Real Talk in the house. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, not step, not trip or fall, and a vehicle to drive your goals like a Mack truck through ice cream, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now, Desiree, let's talk. How you doing?
Let's talk, my friend. I am doing wonderful tonight. I'm so glad to have you back from Ohio, from the midst of the Arnold. Amazing week last week on several fronts, but how have you been?
Well, aside from the ordeal of the travel, getting there, everything's going well and feeling a lot better. Pardon me if my voice sounds a little raspy. It's not from raspberries. It's just from doing all the yelling and screaming. We're having such a good time with the great crew at the P4P booth.
Awesome. And it sounds like it was an amazing time. Over 180,000 attendees were there, I understand. And I know we're going to talk about this more, so I'm not going to have too much of a spoiler alert. But I understand that not even as many people wanted to get to the P4P booth could even get close to the P4P booth. That's just how much action that was there. So, but before we dive into that and dive into our awesome guest that we have tonight, I do have a couple of announcements I would like to make, if that's okay with everyone. And everything that I'm going to be sharing tonight that you're going to be able to go and find on the Midwest Muscle Facebook page, so you can always look up more stats and verify info there, see additional links. But here we go. This weekend, if you are in the Chicago area or can get there quickly, there is going to be the Midwest Natty Nation Workout and Posing Get-Together. And that's on Saturday, March 12th, and that's going to be from 2 to 5 p.m. So, again, check out the Midwest Muscle Facebook page for more detail. Also, if anyone has been eyeing the 2016 Pro International Natural Kansas City Classic, which is on September 17th of this year, there is a new location for that. It's at the KCI Expo. So, that's a new announcement that came out, so if that show is on your radar, you're going to want to check that out and make sure that you get to the right place. Also, for our friends in the Southern Midwest region, there is a posing clinic this Saturday as well. So dual posing clinics, one in Chicago, and then the other one, oh my gosh, and I didn't even write down where in the Midwest region. That's why you got to go to the Midwest Muscle Facebook site. But it is March 19th at 1:30, so do look for that and check that out. I'm sorry. I'll see if I can't find that location for you before the end of the show. And then this last announcement here you will not find on the Midwest Muscle page because I don't believe any information has been posted yet. So you are hearing this first on P4P Real Talk, but the WPA Nationals, the date for that show has been moved to August 13th of this year, so that it will not conflict with any other national qualifier. So the date for that has been changed to August 13th. That is going to be in Laurel, Maryland. And, yes, friends, this is a super pro qualifier. So if you are interested, do check that out. And once that information has been officially been released and posted, we will be sure to share that again, but wanted to go ahead and get that info out to you. So that is exciting. And that's all I got. Kalen, what's coming up next? What
well,
you got?
First off, big shout out to big shout out to Brian McCabe for bringing this seminar together that we're doing this upcoming weekend. Big props to that because he didn't have to do it, and he found a way to make it happen, as most of us do. And it takes people and energy and effort like this to make those things happen. So if anybody's in the area, please, please stop by. What?
Uh-oh. Are you still there?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay, good. I wasn't sure I heard something. I didn't know if we had lost you or not. All right. Carry on, good man, carry on.
Okay, and I'm going to introduce somebody that's quite familiar with the foundation of natural bodybuilding. She's quite a passionate individual in her own right, and I'm just excited to have her on the show because she and her husband both know the best and worst of both worlds, and she's going to help me talk about the Arnold in a way that correlates to just how big the moment was that P4P actually made it into the Arnold Festival outright. I mean, I was just blown away, and I was one of those people that was wondering if it would actually happen even up till the last minute when we walked into the door. So first, I'd like everybody to meet and greet with Andrea Castillo. And Andrea, please introduce yourself and let them know what you're about and, you know, how much love you have for this industry.
Well, my name is Andrea, of course, and I'm actually out of Moline, Illinois. I'm right on the Iowa-Illinois border, and been around a few years. I help promote the Spartan, which is an IMBA, PMBA show. I have some super, super exciting news to share with you about that. But as far as the Arnold, I was really nervous because at the Arnold, anything to do with NPC, you know, there's a lot of conflict, and it's not always resolved in the best way between natural organizations or natural athletes and the NPC IFBB. So when I heard that P4P was going to do a booth at the Arnold, I was like, ooh, I wonder if they're going to turn them away or if they're going to not let them in or tell them for one reason or another that they weren't allowed at the expo. If you haven't been around natural bodybuilding or you don't have a lot of insight into this conflict that I talked about, I really didn't think it was going to happen. It is groundbreaking for the natural athletes. And I know that P4P doesn't just involve themselves with bikini, physique, figure, and bodybuilding athletes. They have encompassed the whole entire spectrum of natural athletes, whether they're roller derby queens or BMX bike riders. You know, they are for the drug-free athletes. And the products that they have, they keep up with the WADA guidelines. And they just make sure that at the highest level, you're not going to get any products that can cause you to have a failed urine test. Now, if you take other products, you run that risk. But if you stick with the P4P products, you know that they do their best and due diligence to make sure that whatever sport you do, you're clean at the highest level. They don't have a wide variety of products, but the products that they do have tend to be pretty quality products, and they keep it minimum for a reason. It's because they don't want you to, you know, have a failed urine test.
Yes. And it's very important. You know, and they're very keen on that, and that's the whole point in having a drug-free society, is to show, you know, that you can do this lifestyle and you can be that active and you can be at your best and still be drug-free. And that's really important to the, you know, the owners. That's very important to the competitors, you know, the ones that really do live the drug-free lifestyle, not the ones that just claim it and basically, you know, do away with it when it's time to basically get down and dirty. So, you know, and the fact that, like you said, this is all walks of life, mothers, fathers, husbands, brothers, sisters, dads, uncles, whatever. And to do the things that we're doing and still have a life that functions where you don't have any shame, where you don't have to hide, and you don't have the syringes in the bag that's basically going to, you know, hurt someone, anything. You know, it's just, it's such a different mindset. And like you said, when we set foot in that building, I was one of those that really was wondering, you know, is this really going to happen? You know, and I remember saying to JB, as the day had worn on, and you know that the bottom's not falling out, that this is actually happening, you know, and when we're talking to people, we can say that, and it's on the banner, and the DJ's saying it, you know, just so open about how we're doing it. There was no fear, there was no hidden thing, there was no side trap, there was nobody, you know, putting anybody on blast. It's basically, this is who we are, take it or leave it.
Yep. Yeah, I'm telling you, I just was in complete shock when they said that they were going. And then I was like, ooh, is this a catch-22, you know? Are they going to give them their check back at the door and say, sorry, you're not welcome? or let you go for a day and then tell you, well, you're not welcome here anymore, like they do some of the natural athletes that take the NPC stage.
See, and that's something that has really blown me away, and I would like you to kind of elaborate on that more, but the fact that, you know, it never occurred to me that when JB, one of the co-founders of P4P, and Chad and Joe Manning, that whole core group there, were planning to do this, it never dawned on me that once they were accepted that there was any possibility that they wouldn't get in the building. I didn't understand that that's kind of or has been part of the NPC culture or attitude towards natural athletes, that they, you know, say, yeah, sure, come on over, but then once you get on the doorstep, it's not the same story. Kind of like when you were referencing, like, you know, athletes, they register for the show when they get there and they're allowed to compete, but then by the time they hit the evening show, the tune has changed.
I think that's for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I have seen a lot of different things. I spend maybe a little bit too much time on Facebook, but I have seen a wide variety of things take place when it comes to natural athletes, social media, and the NPC. Depending upon where you are, and I guess maybe even the NPC promoters, but I think it's kind of like an unwritten or maybe even written rule for them, especially when it comes to some of the pros, even amateurs. It's not uncommon for a natural athlete to sign up to do an NPC show and be told, you're a natural athlete or you're a natural pro athlete, you can't compete in our show now. There are other athletes that contact promoters in advance and say, can I compete in your show? Sometimes they get told yes and sometimes they get told no. I have seen it even go to the extreme of allowing someone to compete at the prejudging, have their friends and family sitting in the audience, get ready for the night show to start, to be walked up to and say, you're disqualified because you're a natural athlete. Now, I know why that happens. I know why it happens at that point. It's not because that they're going to beat a non-tested person. It's because they've already collected the entry fee from the athlete and the ticket sales from their friends and family, and now we can shoo you out because we've made the best off of you. To me, it's wrong. But because of the background and all of the stories that I see on Facebook, I was really skeptical of P4P going in with their mantra of we serve the natural athletes and all natural athletes, and we are for drug-free athletes, period. That's who we sponsor. That's who we help. That's who we run promotions for, that's who we have as athletes in our group. For them to be able to get there and actually make it through the whole weekend is something that's never happened before that I'm aware of. And it is surreal for the natural community.
And it's huge.
It is so huge, and I'm just blown away. I mean, literally blown away that you could just say, you know, that we were drug-free and everything about us is, you know, non-enhanced, non-hormonal, non-whatever. Everything is basically from the earth or nothing. And just be able to hold that platform from start to finish and, You know, big props to the Arnold people because no one came over and told us we had to, you know, they didn't try to regulate anything that we did. Never picked on us as a booth. You know, nothing out of the ordinary. Everything was above par and just in line with how every other booth was being treated. So, you know, big props to them for that. And just,
absolutely,
like I said, it's just something so real when that happens.
And to to tag on to what Andrea was saying a little bit earlier, because if anyone remembers, and we may not have talked about this much, but briefly, but you know that any time on this particular podcast, we are a P4P event, we are part of the P4P family, and so everything that we talk about is tied with being drug-free. So much so that Kalen in particular, he promotes being drug-free in everything that he does. He received a letter from the NCC, no less, telling him that he was not welcome at NCC-sanctioned events. Now, I don't recall exactly who the letter came from, so maybe I can't blanketly say the NCC sent it to him, but it was from an NCC representative. So not only was P4P at the Arnold, but then Kalen was there in the midst of P4P at the Arnold when he had already been told he shouldn't be coming to NCC events because of his view. So, I mean, it really is a big deal to have that kind of representation there.
You know, yeah. And that's a good point. And, you know, you tend to put that kind of stuff out of the way and not let it bother you. But if you think about it, I am kind of like the Antichrist to them. So when they see because they're afraid that, you know, I'm going to say something that basically goes against the show, the competition, or anything else. But, you know, for me, it's always been the same thing in my Christian walk. I have to live what I say. I'm not asking anybody else to. It's just who I am. And if I'm not for it, then of course I don't agree with it, because I'm not for it. It's not me. I'm not saying that I hate any competitor. I don't say I hate any promoter. I'm not hating anybody. It's just something that's not a part of my life, so why would I speak out for something that I don't particularly agree with? People are going to do what they're going to do. You know, I likened it to this. If you have a two-pack-a-day smoker, do you hate the fact that he's smoking? Yes, you know, because it's killing him. But do you hate the person that's smoking? No. Why? So, you know, I don't, some people think that I'm going to be a detriment to their show or their building or what they're doing. And so, granted, they don't want me there. I get it. But, you know, like you said, to walk into the Arnold and not have a cavalcade of officers ready to pummel me, it was kind of a good thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I have thought about, and I had wrote to you on Facebook, is I wanted to hear what the reaction was from the people that came up to the P4P booth.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm sure that you had people there with their sons and daughters from high school, colleges. You know, when we talk about being drug-free, it's not just about bodybuilding. It's about people's jobs, military, yep, college athletes, high school athletes, just regular work, you know.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, we did engage those people, and there were people that came back and bought the product just because, you know, it is family-oriented, because you can have the children taking the protein. You can have the children, you know, taking the glutamine, the things, you know, not the caffeinated products, not the creatine, because it's not really necessary in the lives at that age. But the things that can be taken, there's no harmful side effects. And, it, you know, you don't have to do that wink when you're selling it to the dad, like, yeah, when you get home, just don't let him get it. But let him think, you know, it's okay for him. So it was really nice to engage in parents that really had that concern, and we did. We did have many, you know, over a 3-day period. You're talking about 180,000 people. There's a lot of parents in that group. So when they're coming over and you can engage in them, and they can see somebody like a Martin Daniels, and realize, you know, that's a football player in essence. Mm-hmm. If they really wanted that kind of size. You know, granted, yep, at the end of the year, he's going to lose some weight because of all the cardio. But at the beginning of the year, this is a natural athlete ready to compete. And that's what Martin Daniels was. And, you know, to engage with him and talk on those things, it was really something to see the mystification in the children's eyes, to understand, you know, this is real. Because mm-hmm. It's not TV, it's not fabricated, it's something that they can aspire to be if they're willing to do the hard work and have proper nutrition.
Yeah, proper nutrition, I think, is going to be key for a lot of people. The natural community, what I've found, is they have thrown out the old NPC diets that have been around for generations and decades. And there are some that have very highly college-educated backgrounds who are doing studies, who are running things and running tests and evaluating and coming up with new protocols. And it is making a huge difference in what the physiques look like. They're being able to take a natural physique to a completely different level.
I mean, and that's a great thing. I mean, and that's really what a product should be able to do for the natural body, because the potential is there. It just needs to be unlocked. And, you know, that's really the heart of the message, that there is always an alternative or another way to do something if what's popular in current culture is not agreeing with you. And so you talked about the parents, Kaylin, with the kids and what their reaction was to you, but what about, I mean, the other athletes that were there? That NPC is their world. That's all that they really know. What was their reaction to P4P and the products and just the message that you were sharing?
Well, they didn't actually engage us, you know, outright, but we did have some that were playing the games that we had at the booths, and they were just checking us out. You know, it was a lot of curiosity. We were kind of like the odd man in the room. And It was a lot of, you know, basically, I want to play the games, you know, because I want to win something, because I'm on my break and stuff like that. But, you know, deep down, you know, they are curious because, you know, the one thing that I've learned before I started competing in bodybuilding, anything other than regular sports, is that people are really curious to see what Eugene Sandow had in mind when he was starting bodybuilding all those centuries ago. And it was, what can the natural body attain to its fullest potential if it's worked and fed properly and rested? And I think even when he was talking about that, how it would be sidetracked by the enhanced arena, and people would basically say, well, since there's shortcuts, let's take it. But I don't think he ever thought about the determined mind and acclimated that into his thinking to say that some people would look beyond that shortcut and be really ready to take the long road. And it was so beautiful to hear Martin Daniels speaking as a natural athlete in his own environment, even though it's in a crazy, you know, atmosphere where people could still hear him because he's speaking his life. You know, when you speak the truth, it sounds nice, but when you live it, it sounds so much better. And he could be so engaging because that is who he is. It's every day. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to look for a word. You don't have to spy something out. And you don't have to write anything down when you're talking about you. If you're doing who you are every day, it's basically who you are. So it's second and first nature for you to speak about it. And to watch the children, to watch the athletes, and to watch the community, you know, just the comings and goings is basically just the people that are just wanting to see what this is all about, and then to get to hear the truth of the matter, it really changes a lot of people. And I said, if we even change one person, one mind, to understand that this is something you can do with your good health, with a good mind, and with a good mindset, then it's worth it. You know, and to have P4P basically saying, that's what we're about. You know, you got that kind of foundation and background. That's a great feeling in itself.
That just really is, I mean, it just truly is exciting. Andrea, I mean, from your perspective, I mean, you were curious as to if it was really going to happen. It did happen. So what kind of ripple effects do you think we're going to start to see if, you know, more activities like this or more participation from the natural community like this continues to take place?
Well, I think that there's a couple of things that are going to happen. One is, and it's already starting to show up, is that more and more NPC promoters are going to say that they're running natural shows.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
When you read some of the fine print as to what their drug testing is, you might find that it's random polygraph the day of the show. Okay, so during show days, it's pretty hectic and it's pretty crazy. So I don't really see that happening. There might be some promoters that are actually doing maybe a couple of drug tests. But I do see that. I see that they would want to tap into the natural market and the natural arena because it's already happening. They're not only just putting on shows. They are moving those dates or not announcing dates until a natural show in their community is put forth with a date, and then they're piggybacking on that same date in the same area.
Yes.
And, you know, on the natural side, there's different levels of testing. Some of them are polygraph. Some of them are polygraph in urine for the winner. Some of them are only urine collection. So to add that level in, to me, it's not really a drug-free show. If you look at some of the pictures, you can tell that it's not really a drug-free show. That's like, you know, I don't want to bash anybody, but if you look at some of the athletes that compete in, say, for example, WrestleMania, in some of their supposed drug-tested shows, they may be drug-testing them. Who they're drug-testing, I don't know. The percentage, I don't know. But the athletes' height and weight ratios do not match up to natural competitors that are on the real natural scene. Because unless you're a complete freak, there's pretty much a max weight for your height.
Okay. Yeah, so do clarify that. Because people listening, I mean, they may have no idea, like, what is, you know, I guess, natural for a natural competitor to come in at. I mean, and there are the exceptions to the rule. But, I mean, what is considered natural? What is the max that you generally see based on height and weight and all that stuff?
You know, like, for example, my husband, he's 5'4", but he's got 30-plus years of gym experience underneath his belt. For him to compete at about a 155 to 160, he is an exception. He carries a large amount of muscle mass. Somebody who is new is probably going to be around the 140 to 150 range. Somebody who's, and that would be pushing it, probably 140 to 145.
Andrea, hold up.
Yeah. Because I got to jump in there on that. Even with your husband's height and weight and the body weight that he can maintain, I can remember a couple of years where you guys just couldn't figure out how to get him to look his fullest because his body was adapting in the way it was. This isn't something that's consistent. This is a lot of work and effort, you know, and that's the backstory to that because as a natural athlete, you can't just you know, shoot up and go. You basically got to do everything possible under the sun to basically maintain what you've gained, you know, because you're basically leaning out, and of course you're going to be losing weight as that happens. So, you know, I don't want people to think just because you get to a certain age that you're going to be able to have it all figured out. There's a process, and I just remember you and Ed saying, oh, my goodness, we're having the biggest problem backstage to getting him to look vascular, to getting him to look full, because he was just burning through everything.
Yeah, there was one year that he just couldn't stop burning through the calories. Typically, we don't count calories. You know, the whole Facebook thing about eating clean. Realistically, he eats healthy foods, so he gets a lot of micronutrients from a wide variety of things. Okay, different types of protein, different types of vegetables, different types of fruits, salads, nuts, seeds, you name it. So he's getting a wide variety of things. But this particular time, we started tracking calories because he was just burning through food and burning through food, and he would only stay full and hard for maybe 15 minutes, and then it would be gone and he would be flat.
If that.
Yeah, so we started tracking, and he was eating over 5,000 calories a day. And it just would not stick around. Now, for 6 months or more, we worked with Kiyoshi. And, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. So I went back and started looking at some of the diet then, and I realized then that it was not uncommon for him to lose weight at 3,600 calories.
Mm-hmm.
And when he went into, quote-unquote, cutting, the average was about 27. Anything below that, he would lose weight on the scale, but his muscle bellies would not stay full. So it doesn't matter how many years you have under your belt, your body as a natural athlete can take a turn on a dime. And I personally have seen the leaner people get, the trend is to continue cutting calories. But what I am figuring out over time and working with several different people, which I don't talk about, I don't announce, I don't talk about how I'm a coach or anything else, but I do help people behind the scenes. I just don't acknowledge it, okay? I am finding that the leaner you get, it's not uncommon that you have to eat more.
Exactly.
Because your body now becomes extremely efficient and needs that fuel, because the closer you get to a show, the more output you have, where everybody thinks, okay, well, I need to continue diet down, diet down, diet down. Well, if you take a step back and you evaluate what you're doing, you're working out harder and harder and harder and harder the closer the show gets. Your workouts are more intense. You're probably going to do an extra set because in the back of your mind, somebody else on that stage is doing more reps than you.
Yep.
That's a mind game. So you're probably investing more time at the gym, doing more sets, doing more. So your output is higher. So therefore, instead of continuing to cut back and cut back and cut back and only watching the scale, you'll have to take pictures and really evaluate how long the food is lasting. Because the leaner you get, the faster you see the food push into the muscle bellies, and the faster it comes out. It's really a phenomenal experience to be able to watch and see when someone gets lean, the food come and go from their body, and how fast and how slow it tends to react. But the output seems to grow and grow and grow and intensify closer to the show, because everybody's so worried about somebody beating them, because, you know, that internal drive is to be first, to be the champion. So if you're continuing to increase output and continuing to decrease your input or your fuel, eventually you're going to cross paths and have too much of a separation, and you're going to stall out. Your physique isn't going to be full. It's not going to be where you want it. And the first thing people do is think they need to continue to cut calories.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you may increase them, you may see a completely different thing, because you have to have that fuel to continue having the output. You know, if you put your gas tank at full and you put the pedal to the floor, you're going to burn through more fuel faster than if you were driving 30 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
So that's,
I like the analogy, Ted.
That's what I'm seeing. And it's quite interesting, because take, for example, somebody that I helped a little bit with at the Olympia. She looked amazing Friday night. Nice, full, hard muscle bellies. She woke up Saturday and was completely flat, looked like she needed to go to the gym and diet. And I'm like, you need to start eating. We fed her like four packages of oatmeal. She had 2-foot-long subs. She had more and more and more and more food. She had sweets and cupcakes and cookies and all kinds of things. And it took almost 8 hours to fill her back up.
Wow.
And I think it's because the leaner you get, the more fuel your body needs. You know, they always say muscle burns more than fat.
Yes, it does. It burns calories faster, for sure. So
if you...
No, go ahead. We'll go with your so first, and we'll get back to my so.
Hey, you so and so.
I'm tend to talk a little bit too much, but it's one thing for somebody to think about with their progressing, and they're only fixated on the scale. Sometimes you have to take that scale out of the equation and put that third on the list. Do measurements, do pictures. Photos are amazing for comparisons. And really think about, okay, how much am I putting out and how much am I realistically getting in? Maybe I do need more calories. Maybe I do need more fuel.
I mean, and that's a great point. Actually, it's a great sidetrack. So I'm glad that we did cover all of this, and segue into this section. But I do want to bring us back just a little bit, because we were talking about size and the size ratio not meshing up with a natural show versus an unnatural show, which is how we kind of got started. So, everyone listening, do take note of all of that, because it's probably going to help you out if you are coming in flat in the shows and giving you another perspective on tweaks that you can make to your program. But then jumping back to our beginning point, how much more size are you seeing per height ratio that lets you know that more than likely they're not developing on at a natural level?
So say, for example, somebody's in the 5'8", 5'9" range. They're typically going to be, from my estimates, between 180 and 185 lean.
Mm-hmm.
When
okay.
she said it, how much, Kaylin?
Yes.
Okay.
190,
so
193, top.
Top. And that's with years of experience. Okay.
Yes.
But if you're seeing somebody on stage at 5'8", 5'9", or even 5'6", and they're over 200 pounds, something's not right. You can't have, 30 pounds more than the average person without some type of medium in there, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, and also the Burger King, McDonald's diet to keep that fuel is a telltale sign.
Mm-hmm. Well, then again,
go ahead.
People don't believe what my husband eats, but, before IIFYM was popular, he was on a podcast with John Hansen, and they talked about his diet, and he's like, I eat whatever I want, whenever I want. I don't eat on a schedule. I don't eliminate food groups. If I'm craving something, I eat it, but I eat smart. I look at what I'm doing, and I don't overindulge in things that are high calorie, basically. Now that's kind of like a trend where everybody's figuring out, at once upon a time, the media – and we've all been told calories in, calories out. Then it was low-carb diets, high-carb diets. It was paleo. It was South Beach. It was this. It was that. And in the last couple of years, IIFYM has kind of taken a big foothold in physique sports. But what
mm-hmm.
they realized is it's calories in, calories out. But how do you get to those calories? We are more educated now than traditional society is. And so people are actually realizing, okay, so my macros are what equals my calories, and I need to pay attention to my macros. And along those lines, I need to pay attention to the micros that are coming from the variety of foods that I'm intaking. And
mm-hmm.
it's no longer just broccoli, fish, chicken, almonds, blueberry, oatmeal, and egg whites.
And it never should have been. I mean, let's be honest. This is something that basically, I don't want to pick on anybody when I say it, but,
it's a stereotypical diet that's been
coming from other sports and other arenas. I just didn't have that. It didn't, that kind of diet sounds horrible. I would rather have foods that I would enjoy and have it selected and regulated than to sit there and being put on something that I detest and having to do it for the duration of whatever the preparation is. And, you do have to fine-tune, toward the closer you get to show day, the more you need to be selective, I get that. But to tell me the whole process has to be something that you hate, I can't imagine any sport that should be considered enjoyable. Being considered a sport, I consider that torture. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's like people used to not understand how Ed could do 7 or 8 shows a year and still be happy and smile and have a good time at the shows. It was because his foods were coming from all different resources. And he wasn't neglecting himself. He wasn't missing micronutrients that
that's
made
right.
him miserable and irritated and throwing his body off. He wasn't in a completely restricted calorie level. There's just so many different things for you to look at. And that diet that's been passed around from decades, it's been on the, you know, it's been going through for decades. It is slowly converting over. Like, I am in a few of the secret IIFYM groups for women, and more and more and more and more women are accepting, tracking, looking at their foods, coming in from the NPC side, which I'm ecstatic to see, because it's healthy. It keeps you healthy. People want to know, how can you compete and compete and compete and not be a miserable and hateful and resentful? And it's not that you're hardcore.
Yeah.
It's just that...
Well, then, you know, that's why I called Ed the ambassador, because he enjoyed everything about the process. And, you know, let's segue back to the his initial reason for getting back into it, because he basically saw something that he didn't like, you didn't like, and just said, you know, it's not worth it if this is what it takes. And then have, you know, natural shows, because I think a lot of people might not know the history of you and Ed dealing with the dark side, is what everybody likes to call it, is that he didn't want to do the drugs, but he felt, you know, that's what it was going to take to keep on stepping on NPC stage shows.
Yeah, he competed a lot in the 80s, and at that time, everything was NPC. But some of the natural orgs, if you look at their history, they were starting in the 80s, but there was no social media. There was no internet. There, unless, you know, and it wasn't coming out in NPC magazines, unless you knew somebody, it was an untapped, untargeted market, and it was only by word of mouth. And he competed a lot. He won a lot. And he was beating guys that were using, because he would come in ripped and shredded. But then it got to the point where he realized to get to the next level, he was going to have to use, just like the people that were competing with him on stage, and he said it wasn't worth his health. So he...
Yeah, and it's got to be a mental strain when you're saying, you know, he's at his healthiest and he's enjoying what he's doing, but it's also a challenge because basically the pressure starts coming in, like, you know, because the one thing I always thought in the back of my mind, how many times are we going to let this natural guy win? You know, if basically the drugs is what's pushing the show.
Right, and, you know, it wasn't until 2010, because my husband, he had back surgery, we had kids, we raised them. He was off the stage for, I think, 23 years. And he was 49, and he said, when I turn 50, I'm going to do a master show. So I started digging on the internet, because in 2010, the internet was there. And I dug and dug, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Honey, you're almost a decade late. Master started at 40. And he's like, what? And we found a show, and we went to it about an hour and a half away, and he competed 6 weeks later and then ended up doing 7 shows in 16 weeks.
The ambassador, he could do it.
And
he
we haven't
do it.
Stopped, you know? We haven't stopped. And I don't compete. I know I don't look like it, but I have – really loved the sport since I was a teenager, when it used to be on TV. And I thought, at one point, I wanted to be a female bodybuilder. And I didn't know that the steroids were involved. I was just a teenager thinking that it was really cool, and they looked so different. And I used to go and pick up weights, and I was very athletic in high school. I did a lot of sports. And
it wasn't until, you know, I grew up and matured that I realized they were all using drugs.
Yeah.
What I'm finding now is there are so many people that are in their late 40s or 50s that are coming out of the woodwork that are old school bodybuilders, especially men, that are coming out of the woodwork and tickled pink to have a natural platform because they never went to the dark side either.
Yes. And, you know, let's be honest, there is pressure to do it because, you know, it's like, okay, you have a look, you've got the charisma, and you've got the work ethic to do this. So, you know, if you just did this, we could actually promote you better. And that, to me, is saying, you know, we love you for who you are, but not really. And that's what I love about P4P is because they said, we just love you. You know, just do it, just be you. And we will give you the platform to back you. So, you know, to step into the Arnold and have all this happening and knowing that foundation, because, you know, you hear me say it about the foundation. I really sincerely understand what they mean because we, you know, JB and I have talked for hours. Chad and I have hung out along with Joe. And you see it's not just words because it's so many in this industry that speak great but do nothing. And, you know, I think that's sometimes what we get caught up in is that, okay, here we go. And, you know, it's basically your rancid meat after the show, but you're the best steak in life up until, you know, showtime. And that really gets into people's minds where they say, you know, okay, here we go again. And they basically just in one ear and out the other. And I think that's what you were saying about the NPC. Like, okay, you're just meat and the grinder. And just... when you find out that you don't have to live like that, that's a great, great option for people that are serious about their health and fitness and also serious about competing because it does make a difference. If you're not happy come showtime, it shows on stage. You know it more than most because you've been to so many shows. And now, you know, that you're a promoter, you get to see it firsthand. And I know there's been times where you had to step in where you said, you know, I want my competitors taken care of to the best of their potential. That makes a difference.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you hear a lot of people on the natural side, they bash NPC, they bash steroids, they do this, they do that. Here's my point of view. I don't hang out with heroin addicts. I don't hang out with people who do meth or cocaine or are addicted to prescription pills. I don't hang out with people that break the law. And in my experience, it's the only company, organization, body of any type of physical activity or sport that promotes breaking the law to get a trophy and to make money off of you. Everybody always likes to say, well, to each their own, yada, yada, yada. From my experience, somebody that Ed used to train before him and I got together, she was phenomenal. But she wanted to be bigger, 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 bigger. So she ended up marrying somebody who was using, and they started using together. She killed him. He died as a result of using pig hormones and his effort to take the stage. And even when he was at the hospital, she would not tell the hospital staff what they were using. And the kicker of it was she was a school teacher. And they went and raided her desk at the school, an elementary school, and found her gear in her desk at the school. So for me, it isn't about, you know, one is right and one is wrong. To me, it's about health, which is also on the Natty platform. Everybody does it, health. And that's how they end up starting into it a lot of times is because they want to get healthy. But it's also about not breaking the law.
Yeah. That's real talk right there. That's some real talk. And, you know, I explain to people that, you know, when you talk about passing a drug test, if that's the only way you know you're natural, then you're not natural. Because it's a lifestyle. It's a true way of life. Granted, you know, it tickled me. Like, I remember... When, like, the last 2 years since I've been, you know, stepping on stage and actually improving, that the people at work were saying, oh, he's on something. He's on something. I mean, look at him. And I'm thinking, you have no idea what somebody that's on something looks like doing the amount of work that I do. So it's comical to me to be accused of it. But there was a chance at work where I had an accident and had to go to work, I mean, go to the clinic to be drug screened in order to come back to work. And on the, what do they call it, the little yellow sheets, what do they call them? Oh, I can't think of the name.
Mayor analysis?
Now. But on that, a what?
A urinalysis sheet?
No. The little you know, those little tabs, the stickies that you put on, like a little note.
Post-it note.
Yeah. So, yes. And it was attached to my consent form to go get drug screened. You know, tests for steroids or growth hormone. And I just found that so comical because it had been stapled to it to make sure that I couldn't tear it off. And when I asked the lady that was giving the drug screen, you know, I was like, well, I'm just curious, you know, don't you test for that already? And she said, of course, it's a drug.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've been random drug screened at work. I can't tell you how many times. And, there's been people at my job that basically said, it's not worth the humiliation, I'll just go ahead and lose the job. And either never show up to the clinic or try to use someone else's urine. You know, I get it. You know, they want a paycheck and stuff like that. But if my lifestyle depended on a drug screening to basically verify what I'm living, then I'm falling short of my life. I can't imagine saying this is the only way you're going to know that I'm a natural athlete. You know, this is something I've been doing all my life. Why should a drug screening be what tells me? And granted, it's nice to have verification for the people that don't believe, but if that's what I need to believe who I am, then I'm not the person that I claim. And that's just, I mean, that's about as real talk as you're going to get. And, you know, I know Ed feels that same way, and I know you feel that same way. This is something that you do every day, all day of every day you live. So, you know, like when we're talking about just how big, everything we're saying correlates to just how big being at the Arnold is as a natural organization of life, a supplement company, and a P4P, anything, being able to be all natural and then have natural athletes as the barometer for what we're doing, that's big.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you may or may not have had anybody come up to you and talk to you about it at the booth, but I can almost guarantee that there were some people who may be starting to get into fitness or maybe wanting to compete, and they weren't there just to pick up a boatload of free samples, but they had a drive that they didn't talk to anybody about that you guys probably
mm-hmm.
made a difference in.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is the thing. When we would JB had made a point that we would have the time, and this is how you know when people are serious about what they're saying. It wasn't about sales. Granted, that's what we're there for, is to we're a business, so of course, you know, you want some sales, you want to make money. But he also allotted us the time when the children, especially the younger ones, could sit there and come and ask us the questions they were asking, you know, about, seriously, are you guys really clean? You know, because we were asked that, especially me and Martin. So to be asked that and to be able to have the time to give an answer that suffices for what they're asking, you know, not just basically to do the cliched response, this was something that we could go in depth about because it's who we are. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, to have that time to do that and not, okay, you're cutting in the sales, so get your butt back over here, you know, nothing like that. It was never like that. We were given the time to speak as openly and honestly as we could about what's going on in the time frame we had, because the one thing that you know about the Arnold, it's packed. And you
right.
basically start holding up the line if you hold them too long, because basically it's like a sardine can with a little bit of space to move around, if that. So even if it's a booth and you can have them step in, they still start blocking people in. So, you know, that was the only dilemma we faced when answering significant questions.
Yeah, and I like the aspect that you guys brought in a wide variety of people to work the booth, because, you know, there's a lot of picture taking at the Arnold. And there was a lot of images of natural athletes, pros, amateurs, people within the organization, people having fun, that weren't just, they didn't come to your booth to get a picture with somebody that they saw in an NPC magazine. They came and they actually engaged. And then you guys didn't just push them out like, okay, next, next, smile, buy our product next, smile, buy our product next.
Well, it's even better because, like, we were allowed to walk around. And, you know, it, this is the thing that it I really appreciate. And this is just, you know, this is a big shout-out to the P4P crew that we had. Everybody that worked the booth wanted to get back to the booth because we were all helping each other basically get through the stressful time. Because, you know, with that many people and that much stuff going on, it can get stressful if it's not run correctly. Well, you as a promoter, I'm sure you know that more than most. But when we were out there, we loved walking in the crowds, but we went as groups. You know, I remember it was me and Trishana, and then it was me and Sarah, and then it was me and Martin and Proyo. So, you know, we were basically conversing and dealing with the athletes and the people that were wanting to compete, or just people that just want to know about good health in general. But we were there to actually answer the questions from a natural's point of view. And that,
well, you know,
really changes things. Go ahead.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a new IMBA, PMBA show that's going to be happening out in Ohio this year. And I know that there was some posters put out in the Columbus area. And I have seen that people are recognizing Ange from the P4P booth at the Arnold as being on that poster. That speaks volumes.
Yes, it does.
And
it makes a difference when you can actually see them at the Arnold. I mean, when people were running up to hug her, like they were running up to hug the people in the magazine. And like you said, we don't have that exposure that they have in these magazines yet. But we're still recognized for who we are. I mean, there were people at the Arnold that knew me from the podcast. You know, you're with P4P, yes. There's a show called Real Talk. Do you know the guy named Caitlin Patterson? Yes, I do. Well, you think he's over at the booth? I said, I'm sure I can find him. And, you know, it's stuff like that that's just really nice because, you know, these, like, you know and I know, 5-6 years ago, this is unheard of.
Yes. The recognition just wasn't there, but it's growing and it's growing and it's growing very exponentially, very quickly and very rapidly.
Oh, yes. And speaking of growing, I don't want to miss out on you and your show and your husband, the show that you do. So give us some updates on that.
I just went and checked out a new venue. You know me and venues, right? Because for me, it's about the athletes. DeWitt, I love the venue. It was a bit of a drive from in town. So originally, the last time I was on, we talked about August 13th. Because Brian Gabe came out and said that he was going to do his Windy City on the 13th, and John and Cliff and all that group have their seminar going on in Springfield. It's not fair to somebody like Brian, who has a ton of financial responsibility to put on his show, to have another show within 3 hours drive, along with a big seminar going on. Not too far, you know, another 3-5 hour drive. So I'm moving to September 10th.
Okay.
So I'm moving to September 10th. I am having so much stuff. It's not even funny. But back to the venue. So I went and checked out a new venue today. I've got one minor issue. When you're a promoter, you run into a lot of things. And when you work with schools and their performing arts centers, a lot of times you can't get in the fall until the school submits their details
agenda
for the year. Yeah, their agenda for the year. Usually that doesn't come out until April or May for you to be able to get a contract to get into the fall. One way or another, mm-hmm. I'm going to have it on September 10th. But if I can get into Bettendorf High School, we've got two dressing rooms that are completely joined with a full makeup room with the lights and everything. And you will have monitors, TV screens in every room that the athletes are in that will have a live feed to the stage. So you will know exactly where the school is at.
Mm-hmm.
You will be able to see your friends, your other clients. If you're backstage helping somebody, you don't have to run to the auditorium. I mean, yeah, I know that you need to, but say you're a coach and you have somebody in classes back-to-back, you stay backstage. Well, now you don't have to say, well, I missed you on stage because I was preparing somebody else. You can say, I saw you on the monitor. You did this, this, and this right, and you could have improved here, here, and here. Or you knocked it out of the park or whatever the case may be. There'll be another big room off of that directly across the hall that has like 20-foot mirrors, and it's huge, but that'll be directly across the hall from the auditorium. And, of course, you know, my athletes will have their own private bathrooms. And then that room will also have a live audio feed, audio and video feed to the stage. And if we need more room, we've got an even bigger room just down the hall from that that will also have an audio-video feed. So when you're backstage, if I can secure this, it's going to be fabulous because I don't see anybody else having a live feed for their athletes in the back. I am opening up all pro master's classes.
Oh, wow.
So
that'll
it will
be big for Denise
pro
Kubiak.
Show. Yeah, it'll be an all master's pro show. The entry fee for master's pros will be $250, but that includes your drug testing. That's everything included.
I will definitely link this to Denise because she was just talking about that.
Then we also have on the amateur side, your initial entry fee will be $135, crossover, first crossover will be $65, and the second crossover or more will be $50. Your initial entry fee includes your drug testing. So there will be no additional drug testing fees. You pay your entry fee, and that's it.
Okay. That's big, too.
The only end-of-the-year event for Pro Masters is the Natural Olympia. So, of course, this will be a National Olympia Pro Qualifier for all of the pros.
Even better?
And they'll be, I'm still here.
No, I said even better.
And there will be guaranteed payouts because the PNBA has a new structure. So it doesn't matter if you've got 3 in your class or you got 10 in your class. The more athletes that are in the class, the higher the payout goes. Denny has put forward this year, if there's 50 pros in one class, he's paying out $10,000. That's a lot of pros, but that's a lot of money.
It is.
I would love to see, I would love to see a category take him up on that because first place is $10,000. The other thing is, I've been to the Olympia the last 5 years. The Olympia is an expensive event, but when you look at it, it's probably running about $80,000 just to put on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And typically a VIP weekend pass is $299. I have worked a little magic, and if you're at the Spartan, you can pick up a VIP weekend pass for $150, but I can only sell 10 of them. But it's going to save you $150.
Yes.
That includes the
VIP. I'll have to give word to Proyo about that.
Yeah, that's going to include the VIP mixer on Thursday, the amateurs on Friday, the pro press conference on Saturday, along with the amateurs and the pros, and the awards banquet and pro autograph signing, the induction into the Hall of Fame, and the brunch on Sunday. Because the Olympia is not just a one-day event. It's 4 days.
Yes.
So let's see, what else do I have? This venue that I was talking about, it seats 840 people, and it's beautiful. Completely wheelchair accessible. I would love to have somebody come in and compete. And they've opened up two new things. One is, if there's three or more in the seated class, they're offering pro cards. And the IMBA
Angels.
Okay,
that'll
Angels,
be good for Josh Dillenberry and Rory Coons.
Yeah. And the only pro show that they'll have for the physically challenged will be at the Olympia. Because we had somebody, like, for 2 years, they came from Pakistan to compete in the wheelchair division.
Wow.
That takes a lot of security clearance, and it took him years to be able to be approved to come to the U.S. to compete. He lost his wheelchair on the plane, and people rallied him around. They got him a new wheelchair, and they got him taken care of. The INBA Angels, which nobody else does, it's a hit in the foreign countries, especially in Australia. Part of the proceeds for that division go to the American Breast Cancer Society. I really want somebody or a few people to do that division. You can pretty much do any type of, like, Vegas-style costume, including shoes, can be whatever you want, or barefoot. I'll post some links on the Spartan page.
Tag me in them, please.
And I'm going to do a pilot show for the IMBA, PMBA, and I'm going to do a one-show format.
There you go.
I've got a lot of different things, like the first 30 people that sign up can buy tickets for a discounted price. For athletes, you can buy up to 2 discounted tickets. If you have a card in another organization, and you know I'm a pay-it-forward kind of person, right, Kaylin? And
yes.
I care about the people
that
compete. If you have a valid card from another organization and you want to compete at the Spartan, please contact me, because I can get you a discount off of the IMBA card. I think that it's right. I think in the Midwest, many people hold multiple cards, and every organization wants you to pay their full fee. I am acknowledging
It
takes a lot of money to compete, and it costs a lot of money to have all these different organization cards. So I am working with Denny, and I told him, I want you to offer people a discount to compete with the IMBA if they don't have their card and they're used to competing with somebody else. Let me know that you want to compete, and I can get you some type of savings on doing the IMBA card. If you want to do it, and you want to, if you know you want to do the Spartan, but you want to do other cards, other shows like the Natural Illinois in April, or the new Ohio show in May, or the North American in July, contact me right away. Get your card, get your stuff taken care of, get signed up for the Spartan, and then use your card for the rest of the shows instead of paying full price.
Well, I have one big question, and you know I have to ask it because it's about Girl Abby Potter. What's up with that?
Oh, you know I won't do a show without Ivy. Ivy is the best tanner, hands down. She is, you know, a traveling tanner with the pros. She had 3 of her clients take first place at the Olympia. And it's because you don't have to worry about the tan. She takes absolutely good care of everybody.
Now, that's one of the few women I can say that is matches your passion, especially for the work that she does and the travel she does. I can see why you guys are such a good mesh, because she works. You know, I mean, I'm not disrespecting any other tanning organization or agency, but I've seen the work she does. I've worked with her, and I'm telling you, I'm very proud of everything that she is and does.
Yeah, and she has a passion for it, for her aspect, is, and that's tanning. She isn't just a competition tanner. She doesn't just travel with pros to spray tan them and have a good time. She actually owns tanning salons. She's been in the business and the industry for a long time. And
yes,
she knows her stuff. And she does.
And I'm
a
glad
very,
you said that, because I was thinking something else.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing, and she knows the products. She's worked with multiple skin types on a daily basis, not just once every couple of months at a show there's a fluke and, oh, sorry, it didn't work out for you. Her product doesn't smear. It doesn't run. It's not like a spray tan application that I've seen at some of the other shows where you start to sweat and it just pours off of you. It's an actual tanning. Yeah, it's a complete tanning, a spray tan, and it's nice and dark, and she treats everybody with the utmost respect. Her and I have kind of been talking. I might be able to get some pros, some free tanning, because that's the way pros should be treated. In my opinion,
yeah,
pros need to be treated like pros.
Pros.
And
exactly,
the bonuses go to the pros.
I love it. Well, you know, the show's coming to an end, and I know you got some other things that you'd like to give out there, shout-outs, and I'd love to hear how it is doing, because I know he was under the weather last time I saw him.
Yeah, I'll tell him that you said hi. He's he took last year off, but I think he's going to be going back to the stage this year.
That's good news. That's very good news. The ambassador.
Yep. Well, I know you guys are ready to wrap up, and I think I have to get some invoices done for him. So you guys finish on your end. It was great talking to you both. I'm really excited about the Spartan, because I'm all about the athletes, and this is a top-notch facility. It's going to be a mega pro card extravaganza. We've got the Pro Masters show, and I can't wait to continue spreading the word about natural bodybuilding.
All right. I'll see you there.
All right. Well, I'll probably see you in April up at the Illinois State.
All right, Andrea. Thank you so much.
Have a great night, guys.
You too. Talk to you later. Well, that was a great, great time. You know, we'll be talking more tomorrow about the recap of the Arnold and the experience, because honestly, it's such a big show. You can't just wrap it up in one day. And even though Melinda and I started, you know, over the weekend, there's just so much that we forgot, because there's just so much that's going on. And you can only cover so much in an hour. And when you're tired, your brain fades. So I'm sure there's things we missed that we can basically update tomorrow night. So we'll be doing that again. Hope everybody enjoyed this show, learned a lot of things. Andrea gave a lot of good information out there. Vince had some things that she had to do, so she had to take off. And this show is coming to an end, and I'm really happy for, you know, the way the natural community is going, the truly natural industry. And I pray that we do all the things we need to do to keep it going in a positive and progressive fashion, because that's what it takes. You know, negativity loves to raise its head when positive energy is present. So let's not that negative nature offset the positive progress. You know, we'll deal with the things that need to be addressed, but don't basically sabotage ourselves in the process. So for everybody with P4P, JB, Chad, Ty Get Better, Joe, you know, you guys are doing great things, and I'm just so thankful to God to be a part of it. Keep pushing on, and we'll keep pushing you forward. God bless you, everybody. Kalen Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P4P Real Talk. It's another one, and we are out.